Hi. So, my name is Mariah Quick, and I'm in my last year of the Master's of Public Health Epidemiology program at the University of Minnesota. And I've been an intern with Arundel Metrics for the last year. And one of the publications that we have is America's Health Rankings Annual Report. So America's Health Rankings is the longest running state-by-state comparison of our nation's health. There are 27 different metrics that are included. Our newest report will be coming out this December. Each of the measures are under the editorial control of our Scientific Advisory Committee, which is the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Gilling School of Global Public Health. America's Health Rankings is a partnership between the United Health Foundation, the American Public Health Association, and Partnership for Prevention. We use the preamble to the WHO Constitution as a framework for our goal to advocate for a holistic definition of health as a complete state of physical, mental, and social well-being, not just the absence of disease or infirmary. Using this as a framework allows the report to be used as a call to action for individuals and their communities by drawing attention to the differences in health across the nation in all the different states. It starts fact-based discussions on public health, and it also provides a resource to move these discussions towards action. America's Health Rankings is seen as a resource of state-level data for advocates, policymakers, and public health officials. So each year, we use a consistent and transparent methodology to calculate the annual rankings. First, we gather data from five different areas of public health, and then we normalize the different percentages, rates, and prevalences using Z-scores, and then eliminate outliers. After that, each measure is weighted, and this weight is determined by its importance. We look at literature, and also we get advice from the Scientific Advisory Committee as to how much each thing should be weighted. And then the sum of these weights equals the overall score for each state. And then we take that, and we're able to rank the states to say which are the healthiest. So these are some of the 27 metrics. There's five different aspects of health: health behaviors, clinical care, community and environment, public health policies, and public policies. And then these all add together into doing the health outcomes. So those are the five aspects of overall health. So what we're talking about today is we wanted to look at how correlated all these different metrics are to each other and how correlated they are to the overall score. So there was four parts to doing this. First, we looked back at the raw data and took the prevalences, percentages, and rates and converted these into Z-scores again. This made it consistent and comparable for all the different metrics and all the different states. We limited the Z-scores to +2 and -2. And then we took all these and we did a correlation function for each metric for each year between 2005 and 2014, and then we exported them into an Excel document. And doing this let us compare how they compare to each other, the correlations between metrics, and also to the overall score. You can't really tell, but these are all different color-coded, and so they correlate to the different graphic I showed before. So red was behavior, green was clinical care, orange is policy, gray for community and environment, and blue for the outcomes. And you can see this table shows the variation of the correlation of each metric to the overall score. And most of them are very strongly negatively correlated or strongly negatively correlated. So those are all the ones on the left side. And then there's a few in the middle and then even fewer with the strongly positive correlations. So the top five metrics that we found to be correlated with the overall score for states were smoking, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular deaths, and premature death. And next to each of those is its correlation. And it makes sense that premature death would be the strongest because the other four top metrics all contribute to premature death. So we know cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death in the United States, and diabetes is seventh. Smoking and obesity contribute to both of those as well as other top 10 causes of death. So some of the other ones, if you didn't catch it on the last slide, that were highly correlated were physical inactivity, number of dentists, preventable hospitalizations, number of poor physical health days, and cancer deaths. And interestingly, dentists were the only one that were very strongly positively correlated with the overall health score. So looking back on some other literature that we use, This is a study done by Ali Makhdad, and they looked at the actual causes of death in the year 2000. And overwhelmingly, tobacco, poor diet, and physical inactivity contribute to death in the United States. And that links up pretty well with what we found to be the highest correlations with our overall scores of smoking, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular death, and premature death. So next, we wanted to see how correlated were these top five metrics to each other. And they're all very correlated. The lowest one was diabetes and smoking with a correlation of 0.54, which is still pretty strong for a correlation. So keep that in mind. To make sure that all these findings were reflective of the true nature of metrics, we looked at the correlation stability over the last 10 years. So this is data from 2005 to 2014. And smoking and obesity kind of represent all the other metrics. You can see that they're very stable over 10 years, being highly correlated. The only one that looked like there may be a different trend was in high school graduation. You can kind of see there's a bit of a downward slope, but otherwise, these have been really correlated to the overall score over the last 10 years. So those are the ones that were highly correlated, and the ones that were the lowest correlated were public health expenditure and disparity in health status. And we kind of tried to find an explanation for this. So the way we measure public health expenditure, the metric only looks at what funds are actually designated specifically for public health. It doesn't include other things that would contribute to better public health. So I don't know how many states actually say specifically this contributes to public health. So it kind of may not be giving the most accurate representation. And then disparity in health status, that's when we look at people who have high education versus low education and how big of a gap there is. So in states that are overall very healthy, like California, there's a very large gap between people who have low education and high education and how they feel their health status is. And so that puts them lower ranked in that metric. Compared to states that are less healthy, the people who have high education feel that they're less healthier. And interestingly, people who have low education in those states feel that they have higher health. And so that makes the gap smaller, but overall people feel that they have lower health, but the disparity is smaller. So it's a little bit confusing, but that makes the metric have a lower correlation to overall score. So despite all this, though, if you look at literature, it does show that these are related to overall health in states, and so we keep those metrics in. Next, we did a factor analysis to identify if there were other variables that may explain more of the variation we found than just any single factor. And the first factor really accounted for a lot of the variation, 42.6%, which is a lot. And you can see all of the different metrics that were in that first factor loading. It's quite a few. And then the first six factors of the factor analysis all had an eigenvalue of over 1, and together they are 77.1% of the variance. So it's really hard to separate these different factors because community health is very integrated, and these each provide a different perspective on health, but they're all highly correlated. This is kind of a graphic representation of the factor analysis. So in the graph on the left, that's just representing the first factor. And you can see the factor loading is very high on that one. And then in the second graph, it has the other 2 through 6 factors. And factors 2 through 6 capture the variance with fewer of the metrics and not to the same impact as factor 1. But it's pretty interesting to see. So knowing all of this, what can states really do about how all these different things work together? On America's Health Rankings website, there is a tool called Change My Rank, and you can select up to 5 metrics for any state, and then you can increase or decrease the percent, prevalence, or rate of any of these metrics and see how it affects your state's health. And then it will show you if the rank changes within that one metric and if it changes the state's overall rank for the overall score. And when you look at it, it shows you that to have a significant improvement in your state's overall health, you really need to change more than one metric, because changing one won't lead to a large change in your overall health. So for example, we used Wyoming, which is ranked number 25 right now. It's right in the middle. And Wyoming's 5 struggling metrics are primary care physicians, occupational fatalities, smoking rate, high school graduation rate, and number of dentists. So if you do a 5% improvement in those five metrics, then the rank will change from 25 to 23. Comparatively, if Wyoming just focused on the one area where they're struggling the most, which is occupational fatalities, the rank, you'd have to decrease fatalities by at least 50% in order to see any kind of change at all in the overall health, which would be a huge thing to take on. And if you look on the bottom right, number 43, that shows you what rank it is for occupational fatalities. So even though they're decreasing it by half, it would still only be ranked 43 for that metric. Pretty much just as you like focusing on things together is going to help you a lot more. A little bit of change everywhere leads to better health. So focusing on one metric alone does not have a large impact because of all this correlation that we saw between all these different health measures. So comprehensive changes in health are required to improve overall health. And I think that America's Health Rankings is a good tool for states to get started to see what areas they're having the most issues and using our resources to create a plan to kind of work on improving them. And an example of a state that is currently using America's Health Rankings to improve their health is Maine. And they have a group called Maine Health, and one of their activities or things that they do is called Health Index. So Maine launched their Health Index in 2009, and it looks at health-based data that they selected from the areas that they were struggling the most in on America's Health Rankings. And they use this to find opportunities to improve their health and monitor the improvements in the health of their community over time. And they've done an annual release each year to show how their state has improved, and they've added several metrics since 2009, but that's just one example of states that are using AHR data right now. And we have some appendix items that people can see later related to what each metric means if you want to see the PowerPoint online. Thank you.